Hysteria is brought to you by OneSkin. Have you heard about OneSkin's Scalp Serum OS1 Hair? People are raving about it. I've been using it since they launched a few months ago, and I'm already obsessed. If you're familiar with OneSkin, you know about their patented OS1 peptide and how it's scientifically proven to target aging at the cellular level. It's what powers their skin and sun care. Now it's targeting age-related hair loss and thinning. Listen to this. People are sending in reviews like, my hair has never felt this thick and full, and my scalp feels healthier than ever. And I started 3 months ago, and I am seeing new little hairs on my scalp line. One customer even wrote, I've tried everything for hair growth, and finally I'm getting response. From my hair. And it's not just talk. OneSkin scientists did a clinical study showing that after 6 months, participants had significantly thicker and denser hair. If you're ready to give OS1 Hair a try, you can get 15% off your first 3 month supply with code HYSTERIA at oneskin.co. I don't love a fussy beauty routine. I don't have much time. And there are other things that I enjoy more than, like, you know, putting on lotion, applying products. It's fine if you like applying products. It's just not for me. What I really love is something that gets the job done without too many steps. OneSkin offers so many options for people that just want their beauty routine to be effective and efficient. OneSkin was founded in 2016 by an all-woman team of scientists. After testing the efficacy of more than 900 so-called anti-aging peptides, they developed the OS1 peptide, the first ingredient to reverse skin's biological age by reducing the accumulation of senescent cells, a key driver of skin aging. OS1 works at the cellular level to improve key aging biomarkers while reducing the visible signs of aging, including lines, wrinkles, and sagging skin. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code HYSTERIA at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code HYSTERIA. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Other People's Problems was the first podcast to take you inside real-life therapy sessions. I'm Dr. Hillary McBride, and again, we're doing something new.
The ketamine really broke down a lot of my barriers.
This work has this sort of immediate transformational effect.
Therapy using psychedelics is the new frontier in mental health. Come along for the trip. Other People's Problems, Season 5, available now.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, On Tuesday, the president was spotted wandering around on the roof of the White House. When reporters asked him what he was doing, he said, quote, just taking a little walk. Alyssa, when you worked at the White House, did you ever go up on the roof? Did you know there was a way to get up there? And B, do you know any other stories of people who did?
So I did go up on the roof.
What?
It wasn't because I was bored, Erin, and just taking a stroll like the president was. Oh. I went up on the roof. You might remember, at some point when I was there, a shooter on 17th Street shot bullets at the White House.
Oh.
Remember that? They landed on the Truman balcony, but we weren't sure it was only the Truman balcony. So I went with the Parks Department and the Secret Service up on the roof
to look
see
for bullets.
If we could see anything. Yes.
Well, that's not very fun.
No, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. But when I was on my way up there, because a little inappropriate goes a long way, I was like, hey, is it true that Willie Nelson smoked pot up here? And they were like, yeah, that's true. So Willie Nelson also famously on the roof. And that is actually a true story.
Oh my gosh. What does it look like? Does it look like just a random roof?
It looks
in
like
Brooklyn?
A roof.
Oh, just like you go up there exciting. And you're like, here's some pipes coming out and like.
Yeah, here's some vents. They're vents.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's too bad.
Not like gutters or anything. Just vents.
I expected it to have some sort of like hidden Hall of Presidents, like, you know, like
no.
like a Disneyland.
The White
like a hidden
House
Mickey.
Is like a lot older and less like. It's very unexpected. It's just kind of an old house. It's not as cool as you would think. I mean, it's special, but it's not cool.
Well, I beg to differ, Alyssa. All right, let's get to the show. We've got a fun show this week. I mean, there's serious news, but I think we kind of dwell in some less serious aspects of some serious
yeah.
news at the beginning. Republican
yeah.
women, when will they ever Yikes. Stop being like surprised by the fact that the I Hate Girls party hates them?
Hates them too. That they're also girls.
That's what? That's crazy.
Yeah, they
I signed up for this so I would be the girl that got picked.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not working that way for them.
No, pick-me-ism is a dead-end pursuit. And we talk about that with Marjorie Taylor Greene being a little bit befuddled with the way that Republican women are treated. We talk about Nancy Mace's run for South Carolina governor, and we rue the day that we gave her the attention that she craves. We also talk a little bit about a Florida Republican committee member who is dating one of the worst men in Congress, apparently, or was dating one of the worst men in Congress. And then we get to talk about some women's reproductive health stuff. And the thing I'm most excited about this week, though,
what?
Our interview with Governor Kathy Hochul of
New
York.
She's the best. So fun.
She's fighting with both hands out.
She's tough.
She is tough. She's a lot of fun. She is traveling to all the state fairs.
Yeah, she's doing it.
So watch out for Governor Kathy Hochul. If you are in New York, if you're at a fair, because you could be
or
next.
Near the fried cookie dough booth.
Or near the fried cookie dough booth. And then we have a little Sandy Petty to close it out and set you on your way. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that looks forward to the day when MTG means Magic the Gathering again.
Erin, have you ever thought about how the Republican Party is anti-worker and anti-woman?
Yes, it's most of what it's a lot of what I think about, yeah.
Well, old Marjorie Taylor Greene is just now starting to have those revelations. Or is she? In an interview with the Daily Mail over the weekend, she went so far as to say, "I think the Republican Party has turned its back on America First and the workers and just regular Americans." She emphasized that she is not turning against Trump, but still criticized the White House for its actions. Criticizing Trump's White House, but not Trump himself? Okay. An example she used was how Elise Stefanik's nomination for UN ambassador was rescinded. It's because they hate women. That was the White House's fault, not Trump's. Greene also said, get this, Erin, "I think there's other women in our party that are really sick and tired of the way men treat Republican women." Okay. Shouldn't she have said the way Republican men treat Republican women? Because I don't think it's the other men that are doing her dirty.
I'm not one to cape for liberal men because, like, being a shit cuts across political ideology, right? There are more shitty men on the political, on the part of the ideological spectrum that's like, men should be allowed to be shitty. Like, right? Like, that's part of the Republican Party platform is, like, enabled male shittiness, right? So this is sort of a, like, leopards eating face situation. Marjorie Taylor Greene is like, wow, I'm in a party that's like, women suck. Why do they keep telling me, a woman, that I suck? Or, like, why am I being thwarted? Or, like, why do I feel like I'm being used?
She doesn't like it.
It's, look, I think that everything she does is to get attention. Congratulations, Marjorie, you got attention. But I also think that, like, this sort of complaint is something that gets attention because it probably resonates with a lot of Republican women.
Right.
They're like, wait a minute. Why does this party that has, like, why is this sexist party being sexist at me? Like, it's the connection doesn't work. Because I think that the selling point given to Republican and conservative women is if you just buy in, then you will be one that we will protect. But they don't actually protect them. They just kind of, they protect them when they're using them.
Right, right.
They don't protect them when they're not using them. And it is a little frustrating watching this, like, okay, Marjorie. And also the Daily Mail, like,
giving interviews to the Daily Mail.
Was Stormfront not available? Like, okay, I don't know. I think, Alyssa, do you think that there could be some kind of coming rift in the party? Or do you think MTG is just trying to get her ducks in a row for a future without Donald Trump?
I think she kind of always seems like she's ready to rift. You know what I mean? Like, I think that she's just mad and she wanted to say that she was mad. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that when push comes to shove, I mean, the clear fact that she keeps being like, it's the White House, not Trump. In what world has that distinction ever been made? Like, that is some of the dumbest shit. Because then if you really mean it, then, like, call out Stephen Miller. Call out whoever it is. On the one hand, I'm mostly just enjoying the fact that she's aggrieved. That's it. It's not that anything good's going to come of it.
I mean, it's also like, yeah, knock if you buck, Marjorie. Like, just say, like, say names. Like, aren't you, you're in a plus 35 Republican district or something like that. Like, you could literally, like, run naked through the streets yelling anti-Semitic slurs, and you would probably still win re-election to your House seat. I do think that she's running for, there's, like, talk she's running for Senate against Ossoff.
I mean.
Yeah. And, but here's, like, in order for her to have a snowball's chance in hell, which she already, like, she probably doesn't have because he's got, like, a double digit. He's, like, popular in Georgia.
He's popular, yeah.
Right? And, yeah, because, I mean, like, look, I congratulate Georgia on having a handsome senator as a Californian. I think it's very important to
have two handsome senators.
They do. And, like, you need to have, as a Californian, having a handsome governor really makes me have a superiority complex. There's a bunch of reasons I have a superiority complex, but our handsome governor is one of them. I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene against Ossoff would have a hard time even mounting a challenge unless she were to appeal to, like, people who weren't insane.
Which is basically impossible.
Yeah,
history is long and well-documented.
You would just have to, like, rip Van Winkle. You would have had to, like, rip Van Winkle napped from, like, 2016 until now and wake up and you're like, oh, there's this, like, Republican woman.
There's this P90X instructor.
Right. I have some problems with, oh, she seems to be kind of right about this and right about this. Well, I'm not going to look into any context of her whatsoever, and I'm just going to judge her on these comments. That sounds good. A couple weeks ago, we talked about, like, Lauren Southern, the mm-hmm. former far-right white nationalist who says she's not a white nationalist influencer who claimed Andrew Tate raped her, and no Republican men came to her aid. I just want to, like, This is going to keep happening. Like, mm-hmm. if you are a Republican woman, if you're a woman that lines up with an oppressive party, you are only going to be protected to the extent that you are being used. That's it.
Which, and Aaron, the one thing about Marjorie Taylor Greene using the Elise Stefanik example is the thing that's great about it is that it is the encapsulation of what you're talking about. They paraded Stefanik out. She was their pit bull, their spokesperson. She did so much of their dirty work for them. And then when it came time to make her USUN, they were like, actually, no. And on top of that, we're sending you back to Congress. And guess what? Mike Johnson gave away your leadership position. So you are 10x worse off than you were 6 months ago.
Yeah. Actually, there was a story that broke on Tuesday that kind of fits into that mm-hmm. mold as well, where it's like, yeah, Republican men are dog shit. Florida, look, many men are. I'm going to say, again, cuts across, like, party lines or whatever. There are plenty of dog shit Democratic men. But they seem to be specifically—
This is a special kind of hypocrisy, though.
Yes, and it's specifically concentrated in the Republican Party right now because it seems like being a man who is dog shit has been made part of the party platform. Donald Trump keeps inviting sex pests to the White House. Donald Trump appears to be on the cusp of being about to pardon a sex pest, like a really—
Real predator.
Historically bad sex pest. Florida Representative Corey Mills— A new real piece of shit. The reigning Miss United States, which, Alyssa, when I first read this, I was like, Miss United States? I was like, oh, it's not one of the well-known pageants.
I had to Google.
Yeah, it's Miss United States. It's the fake pageant from Miss Congeniality. But apparently it's also a real pageant. And the current Miss United States is a woman named Lindsay Langston, who is also a member of the Florida State Republican Committee, right? So mm-hmm. Lindsay Langston has filed a restraining order against sitting Florida Representative Corey Mills, accusing him of harassment and threatening to release revenge porn of the two of them. That is according to Dropsite News, which is a very good Substack. So Langston says she dated Mills from late 2021 until this February, when she found out that he had another girlfriend by reading about it in a news article about him doing domestic violence on his other girlfriend.
Yeah. Yikes.
So if you're nosy and you don't have any respect for, like, the privacy of people who are trying to dismantle the rights of everyone else, I did a little bit of digging, and it was reported in the New York Post that the other woman was a woman named Sarah Raviani, the head of Iranians for Trump, which is a real thing. And she has recanted those domestic violence allegations. But, you know, finding out your boyfriend has another girlfriend— by reading about it in the news. And the news is he was hitting her. That's bad.
Not good.
Also, when Langston and Mills got together in 2021, he was still married.
Mm.
I guess he's got two kids. Great dude, right? Just really top to bottom nice guy.
Moral fiber, 10 out of 10.
So Miss United States breaks up with Mills, right? On account of the fact that the 44-year-old with a receding hairline, she decided to team up with romantically, had another girlfriend. Mm. Mills didn't take it well. He threatened to release videos of them being like in intimate situations and wouldn't leave her alone for months. He basically harassed her. She made a police report in July. And she has, like, all these digital receipts. So apparently, here's something from the Dropsite News article that I was just like, oh, my God. So Dropsite reached out to Mills for comment before publishing the story, you know, as a responsible journalist would. But before he replied to the reporter, he called Langston. He called Miss United States from the other girlfriend's phone and sent several text messages asking her to take back the allegations, saying, only you can stop this. And I understand you, mom, is going through a lot of mental health issues. And then his lawyer called her and said it's illegal under Florida law for her to share her messages with Mills to a reporter, which is not true.
No.
Mills is a like, very avid MAGA Republican and vocal ally of President Donald Trump. He told Politico in January that he planned to run for Marco Rubio's Senate seat. He also told people last fall that he was in the running to be the Secretary of Defense. I know.
Entirely possible.
Look, yes, I can't judge the veracity of that one way or another. On one hand, this guy seems like he's full of shit, but on the other, the world's crazy.
Hegseth.
Exactly, Hegseth. This guy actually did have, like, real... He was an international arms dealer, so I guess that's more experience doing DOD-type stuff than being a Fox News weekend host, but I digress. So in May, if you recall, Trump signed a new law called the Take It Down Act, which makes it a federal crime to publish or threaten to publish intimate material, quote, for the purposes of intimidation, coercion, extortion, or to create mental distress. Mills voted in favor of the Take It Down Act on April 28th. The same day that Trump signed the Take It Down Act, May 19th, Mills sent Langston the following message. Let him put his actions behind his mouth. I can send him a few videos of you as well. Oh, I still have them. He was threatening to send videos of the two of them having sex to her new boyfriend. So
gross.
Yeah, he's really gross, and he is like he is an elected official in his second term in the state of Florida. Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, they're crappy. They're crap guys. Like, quit being surprised when, like, when members of the crappy men party act like crappy men. Like, it's the crappy men party.
Let him put his actions behind his mouth. I've never heard that phrase in my entire life.
He's really operating with, like, somebody who has some, like, serious untreated mental health concerns. Yeah, and I don't want to, like, you can be, like, a lot of people with mental health issues are not also pieces of shit. That does not, like, cause a person to be a piece of shit. But he's acting like somebody who is a piece of shit and has no, like, ability to emotionally regulate, which is probably not somebody we want in charge of anything.
No, Florida man.
Florida man. Speaking of people we don't like... Potty Princess and South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace announced this week that she's joining the crowded race for governor of South Carolina. In an interview this weekend, she said her administration would be like Trump in high heels. Okay,
what
Alyssa,
a visual.
Like,
what?
How hard is Nancy Mace trying to get Trump's attention?
She's so pick me. She is exhausting. She is exhausting to watch.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
He doesn't care because I think that she is, and I feel like bad that we're even giving her attention here, because it's just like that's all she wants to do is get attention. And she understands the attention economy, but only like halfway. And she's like doing too much, you know? And I think that even in a world of like, you know, people just, you know, Tom Homan or whatever, dressing up in like a military fatigue thing that he got at Spirit Halloween and pretending he's some kind of like dictator, whatever. Like, even in a world of like dramatics and theatrics and where it's just like normal to act like you are a professional wrestler, she is like too much. And I think that people in Trump world are like, ugh, she's a little much. Mace used to be a relatively moderate Republican. Maybe she was doing that for attention too. She even criticized Trump after January 6th. But when she began her second term in 2023, she made a hard right move, made peace with Trump, went full MAGA. She's also obsessed with bathrooms. Last November, she introduced a resolution to prohibit members and staff of Congress from using bathrooms that don't correspond with their, quote, biological sex. And she was literally doing that to target one congressperson. Like, so weird. She also, like, remember when she went on the floor of Congress and, like, accused her ex?
Yes!
I mean, did some crazy shit. Like,
she used the floor of Congress like a burn book.
Like a burn book. Because Congress people are protected. They can say whatever they want.
She couldn't be charged with libel.
You can't be charged with libel or slander. That is, like, the loophole. If you are a member of Congress and you say it on the floor, even if it's false and you mean you have, like, malicious intent and you're trying to do harm and the thing, whatever. All of the libel and slander guardrails fall off. So she went on the floor of Congress and gave a speech accusing, like, her ex of, mm-hmm. like, horrible crimes against her.
Yes.
And he, of course, was like, whoa. And, like, normally I'm like, believe women. And by believe women, I mean take them seriously.
Right.
But, like, there is no way to take this person seriously, you know?
No. And also, she fundamentally misunderstood, I think, what that move was going to get her.
Yeah.
Because, like, look, the Republican Party, there's a small sliver of space for the women in the Republican Party, right? Like, mm-hmm. Stefanik was in, now she's kind of out. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the kind of MAGA woman who will physically scale the Capitol for Donald Trump. You know what I mean? Like, there are no boundaries for what MTG will do for Donald Trump. The problem with Nancy Mace is when she's like, I'll be Trump in high heels, I feel like they don't trust her.
No.
Like,
I don't blame them.
Right? Like, they know that she's, you know, hokey-pokeying her way through the Republican Party.
But, like, the people who are gullible enough to trust Donald Trump and all of his charlatans and carnival barkers,
right.
and hype distillers, whatever. The people that are gullible enough to trust him are still like, Nancy Mace.
Yikes.
That's a bridge too far. She has a slight edge in the race to become governor of South Carolina.
She has a slight edge. Here's, I think, why. She just has greater name ID right now. Mm-hmm. But the people who she's in the primary with are also, like, statewide officials who have good records. And I think that, like, right now she's literally just enjoying name ID.
I am just imagining Nikki Haley right now, right? Like, remember when Nikki Haley was first elected governor of South Carolina and people were like, this lady's insane. But, like, now Nikki Haley looks, like, so reasonable.
Nikki Haley took down the Confederate statues, at least.
Right, exactly. She ran on a Tea Party wave, right?
She was Tea Party, not MAGA.
Yeah. QAnon, MAGA, Jewish space lasers,
yeah.
Slander, except not on the floor of Congress. Like, she was—
Not that.
Yeah, and, like, it's— She also seems to have, like, an ability to control herself and her emotions and, like—
Yeah, she can regulate.
What is happening with all of these? I feel like I started getting served a bunch of stuff about, like, emotionally dysregulated adults on, like, mm-hmm. TikTok because I was—and now I'm seeing it everywhere. And, yeah.
We have to stop clicking on stories about Nancy Mace.
I know. I, like, avoid it because I'm, like, I know what she's trying to do. It's really obvious. Like— It feels like very histrionic and like you just don't reward that type of person with attention, even if what they're doing to get attention is something that's like normally this is something I would take very seriously. But it's like,
right.
No, you're just trying to get attention. We'll see how that plays out. South Carolina, I will say, is haunted. So there's always kind of wild cards going on with elections and, you know, the general ethos of the whole place. All right. We talked about the White House at the very beginning of the show. Let's talk about the White House a little bit.
Well, Aaron, this is just a quick hit because it's so insane. Trump last week revealed his plans to construct a $200 million, 90,000 square foot state ballroom off the East Wing. This would be the largest renovation to the building in decades.
90,000?
90,000, Aaron. Huge. It's huge. Historians are concerned. They're concerned about the rapid construction and whether it can respect the nature of the historic building. Correct. This is the problem, Aaron. He has finally cooked up a project that he cares about. Being president, literally, I don't think he enjoys at all. He doesn't like work. He doesn't like reading things. Do you know what he loves? He loves a blueprint. He loves contractors he may potentially stiff when it's all over. Like, this is his thing. But, Aaron,
does this upset you as, like, someone
who— It does. Here's why. Do you want to know why no one's ever added this on to the West Wing, to the White House, ever?
Because it would look bad.
Because you don't fucking need it, Aaron. You don't need it. Here's the problem. If you go back in time, if you look at Clinton, Obama, the Bushes, everybody, you use this essentially for state dinners, okay? State dinners, big events. Guess what? The East Room holds almost everything you need. It can hold like 250 to 300 people if you're having entertainment. Well, the thing about it is, you have to pay, or all these people that you're inviting to your party, you have to pay for them to eat and drink. The American taxpayers do not want to pay for the 1,500 or 2,000 people who can fill this ballroom at all times. Like, this is the thing. And if you are having, I got to go to the, remember the state dinner where the Salahis crashed it?
Yeah. India? Oh my God.
I went to that one. Whoa. I was there.
I feel like I just had a stroke. Like,
you just went back in time.
That was such a moment, and I had completely forgotten it. And that was amazing. That was amazing.
It was our first state dinner. I think Ben Rhodes and I were actually at the table with the Salahis, but we didn't know it, or like next to them. Yeah. It all came crashing down the next day. But we did it. Guess what? You rent a tent. The tent's very expensive. I think in the Obama administration, we did 3 tents in 8 years, maybe. And that is when you can do something bigger for a country like India had one. I think Mexico had a tent. That's what you do. It's easy. It's fine. You do not need a space where you can host thousands and thousands of people because the American taxpayers pay for it. And his answer to my criticism will be, well, we'll have donors pay for it. We'll have corporate sponsors. He can't even say for sure that foreign money won't be taken to help build this event space. So the whole thing is you need staff to run it. It's not this one and done sunk cost like he's making it sound. And I just think it's trash, and I think it's bullshit, and I think that there are other things. Like, all he's done, Aaron, he came in, he's like, we're going to make sure everyone has IVF. We're going to get inflation in control. Everyone's going to prosper. Aaron, all he has done is paved over the Rose Garden, put up a flagpole, and now he's got, and you know, the fact that they released these renderings, Aaron, the only thing he has been doing in the White House, it's only August. He has been sitting in the Oval Office just looking at renderings for months. That's all he's done.
90,000 square feet is a place that where I bumped. Is 90,000 just like a random number that he just was like, 90,000? Like, you know how he exaggerates about everything?
Do you know what, Aaron? I guarantee you there is some Versailles. We should check all of the square footage
I'm doing it right now.
Major places and see how big they are. Because whether it is some room in the Kremlin or some part of the Kremlin or
Versailles, largest ballroom square feet. Minus AI. The Hall of Mirrors is 8,072 square feet in Versailles.
Okay.
So it's going to be like 10 halls of mirrors.
Yeah,
10 Versailles halls of mirrors. But, like, you know what I mean? It's like—
No, it's like you just— you don't need it. And the funny thing is, the way the rendering is, I'm like, how does the Treasury building still exist? Like, I can't figure out how the math isn't mathing for me.
And the size of the windows is like, anyway, like during this like whole conversation at Crooked HQ yesterday, it was like, how are the windows going to even work? They're going to be 60 feet wide each. Like, that's crazy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Here's my prediction for how it's going to go, Alyssa.
I think
it's going to be like one of those like highway projects in Illinois when like Daley was the mayor in Chicago.
The big dig?
Well, like, no, that was
the
Boston.
The big dig was Boston, yeah.
But like where there was always like, yeah, you know, you award a contract and it's way more than what the actual cost of the labor and parts is for. And then the person who owns the company just kind of like pockets the money. You know, like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who are awarded contracts with the government, who collect that money. The thing will never get built. And then in 5 years, the New York Times will be like, hey, whatever happened to that money?
Well, Correct. But, you know, and you know, one sort of sinister thing that had not crossed my mind, but thank you, Anthony Scaramucci. Hmm. Scaramucci said, what kind of man builds a 90,000 square foot, you know, tribute to himself, basically, and then leaves? And I was like, oh, I had not thought of it in terms of like.
But maybe he's not planning on actually building it. He might be just planning on the wealth trip.
Right. That's better. I feel better about that than I did about the mooches.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this. Like, if they're going to build this, I want them to build it as quickly as possible and put a libertarian in charge. Like, make it fun and invite everyone who loves you. Just do it. Do it real fast. Do it real fast. Cheap materials, cheap build, you know, do it real fast. Do it fast. Do it with somebody who, like, maybe, you know, didn't go all the way through college because, like, college is a waste of time. Do it, like, have, like, some tech guys do it, right?
Yeah, sure.
Do it real bad. Do it real bad and then have a big party. See what happens. See what happens. That's my hope. That's my hope. Okay. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have an interview with the governor of the Empire State, Kathy Hochul. Hysteria is brought to you by Smalls. I don't know how many people in the world are out there that have a cat in the 20-year club, but I've got a cat in the 20-year club, and she has really gotten disgusting. But I will take care of her until she no longer wants to be alive, because that is a responsibility of being a pet owner. Also, when she does finally decide that it's time to leave this mortal coil, I will be destroyed. Throughout her life, I've been really devoted to giving her the best food possible. Sometimes she ate better than me. And that's why when she was a little bit younger, before she had to be on her special kidney diet, which is gross, she was on Smalls, which is not gross. It's so much better than the other cat food. I miss being able to feed her Smalls. This podcast is sponsored by Smalls. If you're a listener to the show, you know that my cat loved Smalls before she had to switch to her disgusting food. To get 60% off your first order plus free shipping, head to smalls.com/hysteria for a limited time only. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients that you'd find in your fridge. It's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. Thing I love about Smalls is so much pet food is, like, gross. I have this thing where, like, if I get, like, cat food gravy on my hand, I'm, like, grossed out by it. I immediately have to, like, scrub my hands and, like, get that shit off of me. It's awful. Smalls is not like that. It looks like real food. It doesn't stink up my house. And my cat really, really enjoyed eating it before she had to take her disgusting prescription food diet. Smalls also has a bunch of amazing treats and snacks that you can add to your order. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a big deal. And that is probably part of the reason that my cat is now almost old enough to drink alcohol. Have a particularly picky cat? Smalls has a sampler so your cat can try everything Smalls has to offer. What are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve. For a limited time, because you are a Hysteria listener, you can get 60% off your first Smalls order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. That's 60% off when you head to smalls.com/hysteria plus free shipping. Again, that's smalls.com/hysteria. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who want governors who throw hands.
Now joining us is my governor, hailing from Buffalo, New York, a Syracuse Orange woman who flipped New York 26 blue for the first time in 40 years back when she ran for Congress, and the first female governor of New York. Kathy Hochul has been making headlines all week with her plans to beat Texas Republicans at their own game. Welcome to Hysteria, Governor.
Thanks for having me. First of all, I was born in Buffalo, but I'm in Albany, our state capital, and I spent about half my time in New York City, so I'm a governor for every corner of the state.
Do you think it's the Bills' year?
Oh, yes. If you saw Hard Knocks last night on HBO Max, which we all tuned into, I was actually at the training camp when they were filming it, and I could see, you know, they're fired up, And Josh Allen is ready to lead this team to victory. So, yes, indeed, this is the year for the Bills.
All right.
Bills Mafia.
Mark it. Governor, on Sunday, more than 50 Texas Democratic lawmakers fled the state in an attempt to stop the passage of a new redistricting map backed by Trump that could create up to 5 new Republican U.S. House seats in the state. Some of those Texas lawmakers came to meet with you in a joint effort to fight off Republicans' blatant corruption, or political arson, as you called it in your Houston Chronicle op-ed. How did you get connected to the Texas legislators?
No, we've been following their plight for a number of days. And, you know, I think they reached out, or we reached out and just said, you know, what are your next steps? And I said, if you'd like a place to go, certainly New York has plenty of space. I hosted them on Monday morning in the governor's residence. I thought it was a place of great inspiration for them, a home that Franklin Roosevelt lived in when he was governor, and Teddy Roosevelt lived there. And, you know, I think that they're dealing with the same kind of challenges to the, you know, the threat to our democracy that we saw back in those early years when, you know, there's a lot of challenges for our governors. And so I wanted them to feel that. I wanted to know we support them. I brought them to this very room I'm in, which is called the Red Room, and we had an informal meeting at first. And what I want to tell you is that these are real people. These aren't just people doing some political act because, you know, they're predestined to do it. They're ordinary citizens who run for office, but they're also moms and dads. They got up and left their families, packing a suitcase for how long they don't know. And, you know, their families' lives are going on without them right now because they're standing up for our democracy. So I said, this is the 2025 version of Profiles in Courage. Hmm. They had powerful stories of how they're abused in a state that is dominated by Republicans. And for them to even be in office is quite extraordinary, but they don't want to be an eyewitness to the destruction of democracy in their state. That's why they're no longer bystanders. They are upstanders, and they're standing up to fight this assault on all that we cherish in government. So I join them. I will take the fight to the streets of New York, and I want them to know they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's been a lot of saber-rattling going on for the past 24 hours. Members of the Trump administration have been saying they may get the FBI involved in returning the Texas legislators to Texas. Is that even possible, and what role could the FBI play here?
In a normal world, which we lost on January 20th, 2025, I would say no. Before that time, no, that would have been an extreme measure. They've not committed a crime, so there's no extradition that a governor could respond to. There's no warrant that points to a specific crime. So if they want to trump up charges, I'm sure the Trump administration will play into this drama. But I don't believe, I mean, I'm a lawyer, but I'm not familiar with the rights they have to do this. But, you know, these are frightening times. The laws, the rules, the norms don't seem to exist anymore. And that is what's so deeply disturbing to all of us. And I hope they're safe. I know they're still not back in Texas. And so doing, they're using a legal form of, you know, this is part of their process in Texas. You can do this. You can break a quorum, it's called. And they're just simply exercising that right. That is not a violation of the law.
Governor, on Monday you said, if Republicans are willing to rewrite the rules to give themselves an advantage, then we have no choice. We must do the same. Is the idea of fighting fire with fire the kind of rhetoric you want to see Democrats continue to push? And do you think New York should consider redistricting?
Oh, we're doing all that.
Great.
You know, I have been calling this out from the beginning. I said, I will fight fire with fire. I'm sick and tired of Democrats being the good guys. You know, I love good government. You know, I'm a purist. If I could have a democracy that is textbook perfect, I would think that's amazing. We don't have that anymore. You know, we're like the original Patriots. We got to fight. We got to, you know, get into the fight here. Off the sidelines, as Teddy Roosevelt said in his Men in the Arena, or as I say, Women in the Arena speech. I mean, he called on all of us to step up and get muddied and marred and bloodied in the pursuit of doing what is right. That's why I'm standing up. And yes, I will fight fire with fire. I'm not going to continue a fight with one hand tied behind my back. You know, I'm not getting bullied by a bunch of Texas cowboys who think they can tell the rest of us that they're going to have a forever Republican Congress because they're willing to, you know, break the rules. So no, of course they're standing up. And what we're going to do here in New York is to consider all of our options. And one of them is changing our constitution to allow for earlier redistricting. Now, we don't have the same laws as California and other states that can do it sooner on a sooner timeline. But right now, if we do nothing, the next time we can have a difference in redistricting is not till 2032. And that is also governed by outside groups and this supposedly bipartisan approach, which is five Democrats, five Republicans, which doesn't work. So I'm saying let's take it back to the way it was before and make those changes in our state constitution. It takes two cycles of the legislature, 2025-26, that's one. So we do it in 25 or 26, that counts, 27-28, and that's the next session. And then it goes on the ballot for the voters to decide in fall of 27. And we can have the changes we want in time for the 2028. Not early enough for 26, which is why I'm going to continue doing what I did last year. We fought hard, tooth and nail, to win more seats for Akeem Jeffries to become the next speaker. We got close. We won 5 out of 7 battleground seats, and you know, especially in the area of Hudson and those areas. We wanted to make sure we picked up those seats and held seats we had in the Hudson Valley, in Long Island, and in central New York. We did a lot. And I used the power of the state party for the first time ever to be a powerful tool to help me make more Democrats members of Congress, and we succeeded. I'll do that in 26, but until then, I'm willing to fight this fight earlier and do something in 2028.
Governor, about 2 months ago, ICE arrested New York City Comptroller Brad Lander as he was escorting migrants to and from their hearings in New York City. You got famously and righteously pissed about what ICE did. You called it bullshit. How is New York preparing for the possibility that the Trump administration might continue to pull stunts like this and ratchet up its immigration raids in New York in the coming months?
They are. I'm in our state capitol right now. There were ICE raids in our city. And if they're rounding up known criminals with a record that are hurting New Yorkers, I want you gone as well. And I think Democrats need to lean into that argument and say, so we're not irrational about this. You know, you commit a crime, you should not be here. And that's fine. I'll continue my work. I had to testify for 8 long, grueling hours in the House Oversight Committee just a few months ago when they challenged the whole idea of our sanctuary state status. I said, sanctuary state still means this. We'll help you go after the criminals who've committed crimes, but not just immigration enforcement. That's how we draw the line. I need my police focusing on fighting criminals that are already here. So what they're doing is unconscionable. I mean, targeting families. Let me tell you one story that is chilling. Just a few months ago, get this, in Tom Homan's hometown of Sackett's Harbor, charming little community, small population up on the shores of Lake Ontario, they went to what is known as literally Old McDonald's farm. A farmer runs it, has done it for 5 generations, a very staunch Republican, well-known Republican up in that area. They came to his farm at 6 a.m. on a Saturday. ICE did. They had their guns drawn, wearing those damn scary masks, covering up their identities, burst into the home where a mom, her third-grade daughter, and high school twin sons were sleeping. Now, where was the father at 6 a.m. on a Saturday? He was out milking the cows, because that's what they're doing for us. So he wasn't home. ICE rounded them up, put them in a van, made them sit for hours, transported them to another state, made them sit there for weeks. And I called up Tom Homan. I was so outraged by this. And you know who else was outraged? The Republicans who populate that area. About 1,000 people showed up and protested this, because they knew that, first of all, they were hardworking people in the community. Secondly, there was a little school traumatized by this. Students wondering where their classmates were, and the teachers and the principals and the superintendent stood up and said, this is wrong. So enormous pressure in this small town, and we got that family return. But that's one example where we had success. There are so many families that have been separated in our state. And what was happening when I went down and freed Brad Lander from confinement. As I said, it was bullshit. It was bullshit. I got asked the question, like, what do you think about this? Enough is enough. So I went down there. No one was helping me find out where he was. I had to wander around the federal building. It was after hours. And I landed on the floor he was on, and I had all these ICE agents kind of blocking the door. And I said, I want to bring him back. He's coming out. And he said, no, he's not. We've got this argument. And I stood there for a long time. I had about an hour just to stand there. And I was like, I'm not budging. You're not budging. And I started talking. It's like, you know, I talk to everybody. I start with, you know, who's your favorite football team? It's important to me to know. You know, these real people or not. And then I also said, like, where are you from? Get this. One guy was from Nicaragua, came here when he was 7. Another one was from Albania, came here, starts telling me about how he's having trouble with his teenage daughter. Do I have any advice? I mean, I'm talking to them as if they're human. I'm what I could tell from these individuals who went to ICE after 9/11 to be there to help protect our country, I'm not sure they were real comfortable in the role they were being forced to play, to be honest with you. That was my detection. But that aside, I made sure that I could help Brad Lander. I was not leaving. And finally, Brad told me later, someone came back and says, you know what, let him go. The governor just won't leave. And so I walked out. You know, I can't do that every time. And it breaks my heart that I don't have the power to stop what is happening here, other than condemning it. But I do believe that the hearts and minds of New Yorkers are changing. You know, those who listened to the argument of Donald Trump during the election that, you know, we need closed borders. Yeah, we cannot have open borders. I get that. We should have a legal pathway. We should have, you know, lines that are not skipped. I support that. And so, yes, it went on for a long time, and we have a situation now which was very challenging for New York and New York City. But that being said, the people that were in the building, along with Brad Lander, that he was trying to escort safely to their courtroom, they were there legally trying to fulfill their obligation to go before a judge. And while they're in that room, the judge withholds their legal status, withdraws it. They walk in legal, they walk out illegal. And so that's when it's like a trap. Mm-hmm. It's a trap. They're sitting ducks. So ICE agents then round them up. You're not legal. They're stunned. A mom separated from her 2 sons. The sons are gone. She doesn't know where they are. I mean, this is something I know that New Yorkers, as I mentioned before, those who supported doing something about the open borders, they did not expect this to be their children's classmates rounded up. They didn't expect it was going to be the local guy working at pizza for most of his life. They didn't think it was going to be the person who's delivering food to their doors. I believe there's a sea change in attitude. And again, this is not going to play well for the Republicans in 26. There is so much ammunition to use, not the least of which those cases, which are jarring, but also all the cuts that are happening to New York State in Republican districts. Mm-hmm. And rural poverty is rampant in their Republican districts. You take away Medicaid and nutrition programs, like I said, you're screwing the people who put you in office. How does that work for your re-election strategy? Not so well, I predict. Mm-hmm.
Governor, you led right into my next question. I watch Albany Channel 6 every night with my dinner. You are all over the state. You are always on the move. And I'm just curious, you're making a real effort to connect with constituents all over New York, not just Democrats, all New Yorkers. In general, what are people's biggest concerns? What are you hearing at meetings and town halls? And are any people regretting their votes for Trump?
No one comes up to me and says, I want a do-over, okay? So I'll be honest about that. But what I'm hearing in these rural areas, let me give you another example. I was up in Saranac Lake, a charming little tourist town, a lot of history. It's beautiful in the Adirondack region. First of all, let me point this out. In the middle of summer, the streets were empty. Mm-hmm. The tourism numbers have dropped precipitously because why? Donald Trump insulted our friends in Canada. They're not coming. Border crossings are down 30%. You know what that does to Elise Stefanik's district in the North Country along the Canadian border? The small little restaurants and hotels and, you know, little souvenir gift shops. They're hurting. They're struggling. So I did this town hall meeting in Saranac Lake, heart of Republican territory. 400 people showed up. 400 people showed up. And there were angry farmers who said, I've lost my workers. Angry farmers who said the tariffs are hurting my ability to sell products into Canada. And the products that are coming from Canada now cost me more. I mean, you probably don't think about this much, but they're a big exporter of lumber to us. Mm-hmm. That means the wood shavings that are in the stalls of animals are coming from Canada. One farmer said his costs went up $10,000 a month with what was happening with Canada. So they're not coming. Prices are up. I had healthcare workers and hospital administrators say we have 5 hospitals in rural upstate New York that are on the margins right now, and this could push them over the top if they lose Medicaid funding. So let's look at the scale of the impacts. Farmers, the tourism industry, small towns, mom-and-pop shops, healthcare workers are going to lose their jobs. People not even on Medicaid will lose access to hospitals. It's not just the people on Medicaid who'll be turned away. It'll be you and your family. So this is what I'm hearing. People are angry, especially from Buffalo, which is another border community. Mm-hmm. I took my 3-year-old granddaughter. First time she came to Buffalo ever was last weekend. I took her to an extraordinary children's museum called Explore and More. Mm-hmm. I said, how are things going? I helped get them open years ago. They said, we're devastated. You know, we have 40 people came from Canada this month. It used to be 1,500, close to 2,000 mm-hmm. Canadian visitors. One little business hurt that much on the Canadian border. So I'm feeling outraged, but also affordability is still very much an issue. And when the tariffs are making everything more expensive from a backpack that once cost, you know, $52 is now $75. Mom's getting ready for back to school shopping. Mm-hmm. I did this for many, many years. It's expensive. They can't, they're just like, what the heck? What did I do wrong? And they're worried about Christmas shopping.
Right.
You know, the toys that may not be on the shelves. So I'm doing what I can in New York. I passed an aggressive budget addressing affordability, mm-hmm. which has always been the top concern of voters across this country. It's real. It's visceral. They just can't get ahead. And I have $5,000 back in people's pockets with child tax credits, inflation rebates, a tax cut, the largest middle-class tax cut rate in 70 years, and covering the full cost of school breakfasts and lunches for kids that saves a parent $1,600 per child. So I'm doing all this to save $5,000, and the Trump tariffs, which are basically just a tax, are taking about $6,000 to $8,000 out of their pockets. So, so it's not adding up. It's not adding up. So yeah. The answer to your question is, I'm feeling anger.
All right, Governor, we like to end our interviews on a lighter note. It's August in New York. Alyssa says the New York State Fair starts in a few weeks and county fairs are in full swing. So if people want to take a little road trip to New York, or if our New Yorker listeners want to just explore the state, what's your favorite thing to do in New York during the summer?
I do love going to fairs. I went to the Wayne County Fair this week, Wayne County, little county up on Lake Ontario. I went by the Genesee County Fair. So I look at my schedule. I'm going to be in Rochester. I tell my team, like, hey, let's go over to the Genesee County Fair and what's going on. And then I'll be at the Erie County Fair Friday in Buffalo, which is the second largest county fair in America. And then I'll wrap it up at the great New York State Fair. So I love being out there. You get to see families coming together. And, you know, I'm telling you, these are generally fairs are in more Republican areas. They're not in downtown, midtown Manhattan. So you're tending to see Republicans, and people say, you know, you better watch out. If you're going to go there, it might be hostility. It's never hostile. You go there, you show you care about them. I tell them I used to be in 4-H when I was younger.
I did too.
She
was
too.
Yeah, I didn't have an animal to show. One of the 4-H kids asked me, they said, what'd you learn in 4-H? I said, really helpful things. Like, they taught us how to sew an apron.
At our 4-H, we made milkshakes.
I was a poultry showman. I showed chickens. Yes.
Okay. So there we go. I mean, you know, I think 4-H breeds leaders, you know, leaders, right?
Look, I mean, really? Yeah, seriously. That's so funny. But did you show animals, Governor?
I didn't have any animals, but I used to work in Washington for a decade, and my children, I started raising them there when I worked for Senator Moynihan. And when we came back, I wanted to live walking distance to our county fair because, you know, I just love the sights and sounds. But my favorite thing at a county fair, I'm really a big fan of fried chocolate chip cookie dough.
Really?
Fried chocolate chip cookie dough. And then they usually put whipped cream and hop syrup. It is the most decadent thing. So
that does sound decadent.
And last year, I'll tell you, I went and I threw darts really well and hit the balloons. I won this gigantic green turtle that I walked around the fair with last year, probably. So I've got to see if I can win another stuffed animal for my grandbabies.
Oh my gosh, that is a great plan. And I think that if I were a New Yorker, I would feel lucky to see the governor throwing a dart at a balloon at a Midway.
Watch me this week. I'll be there.
Governor Kathy Hochul, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for the work you're doing for the people of New York State.
Thanks a lot. You. Appreciate you. Bye.
Hysteria is brought to you by Article. Oh my gosh, my house is so articled up. It is like the nicest things that I have are Article things. I have a couch that is an Article couch. I've got dining chairs that are Article chairs. I have an Article table. All of it looks elegant. All of it is very sturdy. And I have absolutely no complaints. Article makes it effortless to create a stylish, long-lasting home at an unbeatable price. Article offers a curated range of mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi-inspired pieces that not only shine on their own, but also pair seamlessly with nearly any other Article product. This thoughtful design approach makes it incredibly easy to mix and match, helping you create a space that feels cohesive and stylish. Article takes great care in curating its collection, focusing solely on high-quality, meaningful pieces that will stand the test of time. There's no filler. Every item is chosen for its craftsmanship, design, and lasting value. You can immediately tell the difference in quality when you receive an Article piece. I already talked about how much I like my Article furniture. I talk about it all the time. I can't shut up about it. But one of my favorite things about the process of getting Article furniture is that it is so headache-free to have it delivered to your home. Like, they come, they tell you when it's coming, they bring it, they unpack it. Like, every single delivery experience I've had with them has been so beyond all my expectations. And almost every experience I have with almost every other type of furniture has been underwhelming to upsetting. So the fact that the process of receiving the furniture is something that is just not going to ruin my day, huge plus. In addition to the fact that all of the pieces that I have, even the oldest piece that I have, like, looks like new and can really take a beating. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that hopes Elizabeth Holmes will use some of her time in prison to get really jacked and beat up Ghislaine Maxwell. Do it, Elizabeth. I'm just saying this, Elizabeth Holmes, if you're listening to this podcast.
It's your only redemption.
Your redemption arc starts with you beating the shit out of Ghislaine Maxwell.
I mean, you've seen the pictures,
it
right?
It starts and ends. It's going to be like one of those cases, like, 30 years from now on Reddit, it'll be like, this is Elizabeth Holmes. She went to jail for, like, running a company that didn't do anything and stealing
people's
money.
Most famously.
Yeah. But she became famous by being released from jail because she beat the shit out of renowned child sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell. Please do what the president won't. Beat her up. I am endorsing violence against her. I really, Elizabeth, I think you can do it. Backup suggestion, Jen Shah. But I think Elizabeth is more equipped. She's, like, more statuesque. I think she's got a bigger frame. Like, not bigger.
But she also, do you see the pictures of her working out?
Yeah. She's got.
She's
going to need to start, like, pyramiding that up. You know, you want to bulk up a little bit. You got to pyramid that up. Do a couple, like, little hit routines.
Get those burpees going.
Yeah. Hysteria@cricut.com if you want to reach out. I've got some advice. And then just please beat up Ghislaine Maxwell, please.
Terrific.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit about news. On the uterus front.
All right.
Uterus-A.
Reporting live from my uterus. A new paper from the Journal of American Medical Association says Idaho has lost, Aaron, we said it was going to happen, 35% of its practicing OBGYNs from August 2022 to December 2024 due to the state's near total abortion ban. Doctors in the state can perform abortions in cases of rape, incest, and to save the mother's life, but the guidance for what that means is quite blurry. Performing an abortion could cost them their medical license or land them a multi-year prison sentence. What the fuck?
Well, here's the thing. your state, there's literally three beautiful states, four beautiful states, like accessible, two of which have much more humane laws when it comes to the practice of obstetrics and gynecology, Washington and Oregon. You could also go to Montana. It's a little bit like you're not going to get thrown in a gulag for practicing medicine if you live in Montana.
Still not great, but
good, better. Not awesome, but better than Idaho. Like everything around you, if you're an OBGYN, literally everything around you is better than where you are. Right? A little more expensive, but like, why wouldn't you leave? Like a rational person, of course, would leave.
But like the poor women who are stuck in Idaho, that is so far to drive to find an OBGYN.
It is. It's awful. And, you know, we've talked about the plight of women in Idaho as well. Like women who have had like wanted pregnancies, who have sought emergency care, have been helicoptered.
Right.
Like, what a waste of resources. What a foolish endangering of somebody's health and fertility. Like, what a fucking ridiculous, like, it's so silly.
True. And when you lose that percentage, you know what else shuts down?
Hospitals.
Maternity wards, hospitals.
Like, it's really like, okay, well, what is to become, like, your life in Idaho, you are becoming very quickly residents of a, like, patriarchal third world country, essentially. If you're a woman, you are like, it's really, really crazy. And like, I get that not everyone can pick up and leave. And I get like there's an association with home. Like you were born and raised there. Like, why should you move? They're the one who fucking sucks, you know? Like, but it gets to a point where like a rational person with the means and ability to leave, it's kind of hard to justify staying there, whether you're a reproductive woman, whether you're someone who loves reproductive women, whether you're a person who practices reproductive medicine. Why would you stay?
Why would you stay? Especially even if you're someone who actively wants to be pregnant, why would you stay? Mm-hmm. Because you can't, it's not even just the fact that the OBGYNs have fled. It's that if something happens and you are in danger, you and your baby, no one's going to help you.
Right. And, you know, there's been all this chatter recently about, like, the birth rate going down, whatever.
Right,
there was
right.
a CDC report that came out the other week saying that now I think the number of children per woman of reproductive age is, like, 1.5 something, which is low. It's, like, Western Europe low. So what I think is going to happen in the future is states that have more permissive and humane laws regarding reproductive rights and reproductive care are going to be more attractive to young families and young women in college, starting their career. If you're a woman and you have a choice between living in California or living in, say, Texas, like, and you want to have kids in the next 5 years, like, why would you choose to live in Texas? So I feel like states are going to become attractive for families and for young people and for women who are of reproductive age. And there are other states that are just going to turn into like all of these like sad Great Plains Alaskas with like an excess of young men with nothing to do and nobody to marry and like nobody to like do their laundry for them. You know, like it's going to end up being a place where states that are blue and more humane thrive because they're willing to like create a legal framework.
Because they're hospitable.
Right. They're able to create a legal framework where it's possible for women and families to thrive. And, like, a lot of states are making it impossible. And I don't know how they're going to get out of the corner they've painted themselves into unless the Supreme Court decided to restrict people's ability to travel from state to state. But that would require basically a dissolution of the entire
United
States.
Real problem.
Yeah. That'd be a real problem. Well, Texas is facing a similar issue with a new survey reporting that around 20% of physician respondents are considering leaving the state. So that's not as dire as Idaho.
But
nothing. That's a big ass state with a lot of doctors, with a lot of really, really good medical facilities. I was having a conversation with a doctor not long ago, and they were talking. It was like we were talking about like Match for med students and how like if you there are some programs in red states that had nobody even apply.
Really?
Work. Yeah, because it's like their training would be useless. Like you're an OBGYN, you need to be trained to do all the things an OBGYN can do. And in Texas and Idaho and other places, it is like impossible for you to actually get the training that you need. So
do you know why my eyes are watering?
Why?
Because as you were saying that, I was like, oh, Dr. Robbie matched at Tulane. Pitt can't come back soon enough.
Oh my God. But when is the Pitt coming back?
January. But that just, I literally, Erin, my eyes, I was like, what's wrong with me? You were talking about matching. I'm like, of course, because Dr. Robbie matches you, Lane.
Yeah. Yeah. No, naturally, of course. Yeah. It's, oh, also, you know, we've got some more like red state fuckery. So shield laws exist in states like New York, California, Illinois, Vermont. There are laws that exist to prevent red states to enforce their laws outside of the jurisdiction of the red state. So in practical terms, that means if you're a Texas woman, you travel to Colorado to have an abortion, like the doctor in Colorado can't get charged under Texas law because it's a Colorado doctor. They're not right. Like it's a different set of laws, right? In other cases, you know, there's laws against like distributing like Plan B or misoprostol or like the abortion pill. There are laws designed to make it impossible for women in states to get that. Arkansas is a state that is trying to like fuck up people's ability to help women in red states in the following way. 16 Republican attorneys general called on Congress to ban shield laws from blue states, to ban shield laws, evoking the Comstock Act, which
they cannot get enough of the Comstock Act.
They fucking love that little freak's law, that little freak. The Comstock Act, if you guys want a primer of it, we did an episode on it like a couple years ago, and we did a pretty good in-depth interview with a person who wrote a book about the Comstock Act. But it's this like weird law from like the 1890s where this little like prude man who's terrified of sex made it illegal to send pornographic materials in the mail. And that would include things like birth control, contraception, you know, condoms, sex toys, naughty magazines, et cetera. But they love the Comstock Act now because it gives them a legal framework to ban things across state lines that they shouldn't actually be allowed to ban. Arkansas Attorney General Tim Griffith took it a step further. He sent a cease and desist letter to the website Plan C and Mayday Health, which help inform people about where to get birth control pills. So you can't even get the pills from Plan C or Mayday. It just is like, here's where you can go.
Right.
To get them via telehealth. He claims that referring to abortion pills as safe may make those websites liable for a lawsuit under the Arkansas Deceptive Practices Act. If the lawsuit is successful, the site could face civil penalties up to $10,000 a violation.
In what world are they not safe, though? This is the whole part of the story that flummoxes me. I don't understand. It's safer than Tylenol.
It's safer than Viagra. Let's start doing, like, I'm serious. One. We need to start filing lawsuits against, like, Viagra. We need to start being like, look, if God doesn't want your dick to work, we should not be interfering. You're it's, old.
It's what it is.
It's gross. Your balls are floppy. Like, you don't have a right to have a dick that works. It's part of the human process. Like, you get, I think if you're older than 50, right? I think, like, if you're young and you have ED, that's, like, one thing. And I totally, like, my heart goes out to people that suffer from that. It sounds terrible. If you're over 50, though, if you're just, like, an old guy, you're just an old guy who wants boners, no.
Right.
I'm running for president, and this is my platform.
That's a good platform.
No boners. If God doesn't want you to get it up, you do not have a right to get it up.
It's just
right?
how it is.
It's just how it is. But like, and I'm like 50% being sarcastic there because I do think like, you know, maybe if old men had sex more, they would like leave everyone else alone. But I think that like it is ridiculous and something that they try over and over again to single out safe medications.
Like, right. Because it's just a lie.
Like, it's also it's way just safer than having a baby. Way safer than being pregnant. The longer you're pregnant.
Way safer than having a baby in Idaho.
Yes. The longer you're pregnant, the less safe it is. Like, childbirth is fucking harrowing. Like, it is. If you ask anybody who's, like, recently had a baby, they'll be like, that, especially if it was their first baby, they'll be like, that was the craziest thing that's ever happened. It's fucking crazy. It can kill you. It does kill you. It kills people all over the place. Like, it's not uncommon to be maimed by it. So, like, why are we, like, we better not let them do a thing. It's like banning, like, elbow pads. You know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe the elbow pad will, like, leave a chafe mark on my arm, but, like, I won't break my elbow, you know?
Right. No, I fully agree with you.
Anyway. Okay, so here's a fun fact, not super fun. A lot of people rely on these sites to find out where to get abortion pills, especially because abortion access keeps becoming more difficult and more precarious. Plan C experienced a 625% increase in traffic in the days after Trump's 2024 victory.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Which is pretty crazy. All right. What else do we have? Oh, a newly proposed Trump administration rule will prevent Department of Veterans Affairs hospitals from performing abortions, even in cases of rape, incest, or threat to the mother's life. The rule would be revoking a Biden-era policy that allowed VA hospitals to provide abortion services to veterans and eligible family members, even in states with abortion bans after Roe was overturned. The rule has not officially gone into place, but if and when it does, it will be both a hit to reproductive and veterans' rights. Alyssa, why should women consider joining the military?
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. There's absolutely no reason. This is among the most offensive things that they could do. You often have no control over where you are stationed, where you are lived when you are in the military. And when you get out, we should just fucking take care of our veterans. Like, that just, it seems so simple. And I thought it's actually kind of like what Trump ran on. But again, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all the Republican women, they mean everybody but women. Mm-hmm. They want to take care of people, but like, this to me is the most blatant misogynist, like, just meant to be cruel. Imagine being also they don't give a shit about finding or dealing with sexual assault in the military anymore.
No.
So they have done Joni Ernst. Okay. You could have stopped Pete Hegseth, also sex pest, but you know, fine. And so this is what they've decided to do. And I think this is the most depraved, the most cynical. I think this is pretty fucking gross.
Yeah, it is. It is really gross for all the reasons that you said. Like, and I don't understand how we're trying to, like, militarize ourselves while making serving in the military less appealing than ever. Like,
right.
We're kicking out trans troops for some reason. Like, they want to...
Like, 14,000. Like, it's just, it makes no sense.
It's so ridiculous. We're making it even more dangerous than it already was to be, like, a woman who's serving. We're, like, and also, like, why all of the promises that are being made to veterans right now, I feel like if I were in the military or, like, you know, ex-military, I would be really nervous about Trump, the guy who stiffs everybody, possibly stiffing me. You know?
Yeah, of course.
In slightly better news, a prominent OBGYN group has announced that it will no longer be taking federal money due to Trump's policies that are at odds with their mission and that would prevent them from providing evidence-based guidance. This is kind of like along the lines of your asshole great aunt who's super rich offers to pay for your house. And you're like,
do I want that?
Right. Or like offers to like help you buy a car. And you're like, do I want her involved in, you know what I mean? And like,
right. Does her buying me a car mean I'm going to be driving her around all the time?
Right. Does her buying me a car mean that she is going to be like a dick about who I date? You know, is she,
right.
Is her buying me a car means that she gets to criticize like my career, or she gets to dictate that I have to go to law school. You know, like there's always, it's like a, you don't want strings attached. And Donald
right.
Trump and the Trump administration have made it clear that all federal funding has ideological strings attached.
Right.
And so the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists has become like, we don't want anything to do with this.
Right.
We'll bootstrap it. We'll figure it out. We'll like eat cans of beans for lunch at the ACOG headquarters, like whatever. The HHS communications director, Andrew Nixon, told Axios, this is great news for the American taxpayer. Of course, they're going to spin it like that.
Thanks, Andrew.
But for reference, ACOG Foundation has received $950,000 from the HHS department so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
$950,000, that's like less than one Trump golf outing, right?
Honestly.
So like, okay, like, is it great news for the American taxpayer?
No. Who fucking cares? I mean, like, this is, I am glad that ACOG has the ability to, like, raise whatever money to make up the deficit that this federal funding would leave. Like, thank God for them. And I hope other medical organizations can do it too. But kind of like, this should be the whole point of our money, actually. Taxpayers should want these things funded.
I feel like
they bring research and services and, like,
right. I mean, I feel like universities should do this, too. They should be like, all right, fine, take away the federal money and just, like, start dipping into those, like endowment funds, until there's a new president. And then they could be like, can we have our federal money back, please?
Right. We're back. Okay. Yeah, we endured. Like, we're here. Let's go.
Yes, exactly.
No,
Just let
them. As long as they're good. I mean, they should tell us how we can support them. Like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I mean, it's like, you know, but good for them. Yeah. I'm glad they can make it. I'm glad they can make do. They can get by.
Mm-hmm. All right. So remember, one final story before we take a break. Remember when Trump called himself the father of IVF and just was saying, like,
We forget?
I love fertilization, and repeating that word in this, like, really gross way. Well, anyway, he said he would make IVF free or at least require insurance to cover it. And in response, I saw a lot of dumb bitches posting that they were going to finally be able to afford to have a baby on my TikTok algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the Washington Post, he has no plans to do so. And the reason these people are dumb bitches is because you can't trust Donald Trump when he makes promises. He just said it so you'd vote for him.
Right.
That's like it. And he
we knew it.
He's a liar who lies about things. He's lying. This is not a thing that would benefit him whatsoever. Like, he doesn't do anything unless it continues to benefit him. He's gotten all the benefit he possibly
could. Like him
could.
Personally.
Exactly. By promising to deliver free IVF, he extracted all the personal benefit he possibly could from that promise by getting those people to vote for him. Now he has no use for it, because what are those people going to do? Claw their vote back?
Yeah, no. No rescission on that vote.
Yeah, exactly. Like, got to carry that one to term. He has no plans whatsoever to follow up on his IVF promise. I find it really funny that some in the manosphere, like Andrew Schultz, are like shocked that this could happen. I would include Andrew Schultz in the dumb bitch category, by the way. If he fell for the propaganda and like the empty promises from Trump that like IVF should be free and that he was going to do it, like, I'm sorry, man. Like, you've got a microphone and millions of followers and like, come on. Like, you're old enough that you should be able to detect when someone's—
Fool me once.
Like, yeah. Like,
you know,
that's like foolhardy behavior. Like, he's a fucking liar. He lies.
Right.
He lied. He lied and you believed him. Anyway, why do you think that he doesn't want to pay for IVF? Do you think it's just as simple as the money, or do you think that he just is trying not to piss off—
Because insurance companies told him to go fuck himself. Like, he was never going to pay. That's why it was so ludicrous when we talked about it the first time. It was never going to be him. He was going to have to talk insurance companies into covering it. And, like—
Yeah. There's also, like, so many steps that would have to happen. Like, I am totally in support of taxpayers supporting people having children however they want to.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm completely
in
support of that. But the problem is, step one is, like, regulate the IVF industry. And, like, get those costs under control.
Totally.
And, like, apply some, like, real standards to, like, the fertility industry. Like, make it so that they can't, like, mislead people about the efficacy of certain treatments. Or, like, sweep under the rug how, like, inefficient some things are. Or, like, misrepresent how unlikely people are to have— I don't know a single person who went to a fertility clinic to get checked out and wasn't told, I think you need IVF. Every single one. Every single one. And some of them did and were successful, and it was great for them. But some of them got pregnant naturally, like, while waiting for their first appointment at, like, a non-zero number among, like, it's about half and half who, like, got pregnant outside of having to use a fertility clinic after being told by the fertility clinic that it was the only— they better just do IVF. Like, the sales pitch aspect of it needs to be, like, reformed. The cost of it needs to be brought down. The way that women's pain is handled when they're undergoing those procedures needs to be managed better. Like, there's a bunch of shit that needs to be unfucked within the fertility industry before we start being like, okay, now we need to, like, pay for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not against people having access to, like, whatever fertility treatments they need. I am against the way that the industry takes advantage of people.
Absolutely.
Rant over. All right. This is also bad news for pronatalists, right?
Yeah.
I mean—
So sad for them.
It's—
So sad. They should go protest.
J.D. Vance is— there's eyeliner running down his face right now. He's been crying so hard. All right, let's take a quick break. I had to get J.D. Vance had to catch a couple strays.
He just has to.
Gone almost an entire episode, and I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck.
When you
JD,
said that, I
that
just,
guy.
You know, there's like, he just looks like a Garbage Pail Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like when you say the eyeliner, I only picture that one cartoon picture of him where he looks like the perfect Garbage Pail Kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks like, remember when Lauren Conrad cried on the OC and like her mascara ran? That's what I'm picturing.
That was, do you know how many times I have seen that specific video on my TikTok in the past week?
Yeah, well.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because in the summer I turned pretty, Belly decided that she's not going to Paris. And so people were trying to teach everyone why Belly should go to Paris. And they did when Lauren Conrad did not go to Paris either because of a boy. Mm. And she's crying as her boss is like, you will be the girl who didn't go to Paris. How is your boyfriend? And she starts to cry because they broke up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Sandy Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Fatty 15. Share your thoughts and concerns about aging. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I was woken up starting at 4 a.m. every 10 to 15 minutes by a 13-month-old baby, and I look like 5 years older today. Sleeping. Sleeping is important. There's a lot of things that can really, really age you really, really quick. And I'm thinking of sending her back. I'm thinking of returning her to the baby factory so that I can look young forever. But I found out that actually I don't need to return my children to the baby factory. There's other ways. There are other things that I can be doing. I'm so excited to share with you guys C15 from Fatty 15, the first emerging essential fatty acid to be discovered in more than 90 years. It's an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness. And you guessed it, healthy aging. So if you're like me and you're thinking of returning your children, pause. Listen to this ad. Fatty 15 co-founder Dr. Stephanie Venn Watson discovered the benefits of C15 while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of aging dolphins. Based on over 100 studies, we now know that C15 strengthens our cells and is a key healthy aging nutrient, which helps to slow biological aging at the cellular level. This eventually led to studies finding out the first new nutritional deficiency in 75 years called cellular fragility syndrome caused by a lack of the C15. As many as 1 in 3 people worldwide may have low C15 levels and cellular fragility syndrome. To help fix CFS and further support healthy aging, a team of doctors working in collaboration with the U.S. Navy spent over a decade to develop the pure, optimized, and bioavailable C15 zero ingredient in Fatty 15. Fatty 15 is clinically proven to raise C15 zero levels, resulting in lower cholesterol levels, healthier liver function, improved gut microbiome health, and improved red blood cell health within 3 months. So take it from me. 3 months from now, I will not be looking into where to send my baby in the mail. Best of all, Fatty 15 comes in a gorgeous reusable glass bamboo jar, and refills are shipped directly to your door. Fatty 15 is on a mission to optimize your C15 levels to help support your long-term health and wellness, especially as you age. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/hysteria and using code hysteria at checkout. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that doesn't care if Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson are a showmance. We are in.
I hope not. I want them to be in love.
I want them to be in love, too. I want him to find love. I want her to find love. I don't care. I'm like suspending critical thinking for a moment to just be like, you know what? They're promoting a movie together. This happens.
Yeah.
But I don't care. It's my imagination.
I think they love each other.
Well, clearly they had a good experience shooting the new Naked Gun movie together.
I'm going to go see it.
I am too.
Yeah, it looks really, people have seen it said it was really, really funny.
The original Naked Guns minus O.J. Simpson's prominent role in it, they're really, really good. Although O.J. Simpson gets like the shit kicked out of him in like the first scene of the first one. So if you want to see O.J. Simpson like experience a series of slapstick injuries, that's a good one.
Tune in.
Yeah, tune in. Hopefully nobody in this current Naked Gun ends up doing crimes. Okay, before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. If you love messy power players and hate the men who actually have power, this fucking guy is for you. It's a fun show. this fucking guy. It's a pretty simple concept. We pick someone we don't like and we learn a lot about them. We arrange that information to emphasize the embarrassing and silly stuff about them and de-emphasize anything cool about them if there is anything cool. And then we write a script and we deliver
it
to
you. It's all true.
It's all true. It is
all true. That's the best part.
I mean, I do call our next subject of TFG a Nosferatu, and I don't think he's literally a vampire.
But kind of.
It is a humorous opinion piece based on researchable facts. Our latest episode that just posted a week ago, is Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security and renowned cosplayer. She's a MAGA darling, anti-abortion extremist, philanderer, governor who bragged about killing her dog.
Chiclet wearer.
She did a whole video about her teeth, and our video person, Rachel, made a supercut of it, and it's amazing.
It's amazing.
So watch the latest episode of This Fucking Guy on YouTube or listen on Spotify now. And if you're not already subscribed to our YouTube channel,
please
subscribe. Join the, 400K plus other people. It's a lively comment section on that YouTube channel as well.
It is.
People really like to hang out and get their jollies. Okay, the Crooked Store's best-selling and always relevant Call Congress merch got a design refresh.
Ooh.
It's a little bolder because 2025 is not a time for subtlety, and we have a lot to be calling Congress about.
Pick out a tee in blue or gray and make sure everyone you know has Congress's number. Check out the new design now at crooked.com/store.
All right, time to get to Sani Petty. Alyssa, are you sane or petty this week?
I think I'm sane.
Okay.
I think I'm sane, though I'm getting a little petty because it's been a long, hot summer here and the weather has been kind of terrible. So I've really been looking forward to my weekly shows. You know, it's like we record Hysteria on a Wednesday. I love it because once we're done, I do my chores, I do some work Zooms, and then I watch The Summer I Turned Pretty. I think I only have a couple episodes left. But Erin, last week's episode, Jenny Han, creator of the series, she is one of my friends. I had to DM her because in the episode, at the end, Belly, the whole story, Belly is in love with two brothers. That is the whole premise of the show. And at the end, Jenny used the song Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. Mm. And it was violent. It was an emotionally violent choice. And I was sitting there just enjoying my show. I had a little rosé, put ice in it because, I have perimenopause and I can't have straight booze anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on my sofa and I was like, oh my God, this is so great. And then she plays Landslide. And for anyone listening who knows, I'm Team Connie. He is the emotionally closed off older brother. Obviously, I'm not with the socially well-adjusted younger brother.
No.
And he comes back to see her and she's crying and he can't go in to see her. And he puts his head down and he walks away even though he should go in. And Landslide is playing and I am sobbing. I am sobbing. I'm like, I can't believe it. And then the end of the show, spoilers, it came out last week. I don't care if you haven't seen it. Connie's downstairs because he's going to help Belly put together her wedding with his brother, even though he loves her. And Landslide was still playing. And I was like, this is fucking television.
What in the Biden family is that?
It is. But
except
I was like,
they weren't both still alive when she went from one brother to the other in the Biden situation. And even that, I mean,
these are children too. I mean, they're 21.
Okay.
It's better. But
the summer I ruined a family.
I just felt like Jenny knows that her show is for younger peoples, but also so if they're watching with their mothers will enjoy it too. Mm-hmm. And I am neither of those people, right? I am just a middle-aged woman who's like, I love this show. And so the Landslide hit me super hard.
The Landslide brought you down, as they say.
Erin, it brought me down. What about you? Are you Sani or are you petty?
I'm petty, but also kind of Sani. This is one of those stories that makes me feel like I blew up too many balloons, lightheaded. It's so dumb. I'm lightheaded. So the secretary, our himbo secretary of transportation, Sean Duffy, who is from a town with four stoplights. I don't know. It's very funny to me because I'm from the same neck of the woods as Sean Duffy, that he's the secretary of transportation, because the kind of transportation that we have up in northwestern Wisconsin is drunk driving and snowmobiling. And drunk snowmobiling.
Cross-country skiing.
You can also bike on a highway and nobody cares. It's It is not a city place. There is no public transport. I don't think there's any public transportation.
It's gentle in the transportation department.
It's gentle in the transportation department, but they did pull up the old railroad tracks to make the Gandhi Dancer Trail, which Gandhi Dancer used to be like a name for a railroad worker. I'm getting in the weeds. But anyway, you can like ride bikes and snowmobiles and stuff, and it's really fun. And if you are drunk driving a snowmobile, you cannot get caught because you're just riding down a trail through the woods. And it is so funny to me that Sean Duffy is now the Secretary of Transportation. It's just very funny. It's like,
I get it.
let's pick this guy. He's never been on a train. Like, it's, you know. Anyway, so Sean Duffy announced this week that, like, we're going to go to the moon and, like, build a nuclear reactor.
What on earth? Literally, what on the moon?
My friend, you are scared of taking the New York City subway and you are going to take a rocket ship to the moon? I don't think you are. He's like a guy that's like, oh, the New York City subway is a fucking hellhole or whatever. And it's like, I do not trust anybody who is scared to ride the G train after 5 p.m. You know, I don't trust them to build a rocket ship. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I hear you.
Space is much scarier than Ridgewood, you know? So I just don't – I think that he just put some words together that he thought would get Donald Trump's attention because all of the creatures that surround Donald Trump, like, require his attention, like plants needing water. I don't think he's going to do this. This is so silly, Sean. What are you talking about?
It's bonkers.
You're not going to do that. You're not going to build a nuclear reactor on the moon. You're not. That's crazy.
It's not possible. I mean, maybe it is possible, but not by this crew.
Not by this crew, no. I mean, like we've said multiple times on the show before, this is a crew of people who got their science tests handed back to them upside down in high school, right? Mm-hmm. You're not gonna put a nuclear reactor on the moon, you fucking lumberjack.
It's nuts.
All right. And with that, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. We want to thank New York Governor Kathy Hochul for joining us for a great interview. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die and welcome back. I hope you
thank
had a restful
you.
Week off.
Thank you so much.
People did ask about you, of course.
Oh, that's so nice.
But Akilah filled your shoes. But we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com is our group email address. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.